You're listening to That Park Life Podcast.
From attraction deep dives
to resort rundowns
to cast member chats,
they're here to help you live that park life.
Here they are now.
Beth and Greg.
What's up? Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to That Park Life Podcast. Coming at you live with a sleeping dog behind me.
Oh, are we going to hear some doggy snoring?
I don't know. You might, actually. She's a big snorer. She's living her best life. She did a little bit of nesting, but now she's passed out again. So
Oh, goodness.
We'll see. I think she might be a new addition to my recording times in here. Keeps her not barking at kids screaming down the street, so that helps. That's always helpful.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, it's like kind of spring. Today it was kind of spring. I don't know about tomorrow here, but it seems like it's definitely springtime down in Orlando.
Yeah, it was beautiful today. It was only in the 70s. It was nice.
I know. Only in the 70s. That kind of...
That's hoodie weather. I know. If it were outside, I would have a light hoodie on.
It was 60 earlier, like when I took her walking. I think it may have actually been in the 50s, but I did have, like, I didn't even have a jacket on at that point.
Oh, my goodness.
So that tells you how I feel at Disney World. I'm sweating it out. But, yeah, I'm excited for today's topic. We're going to get to chat with some friends that I haven't talked to in a while. And you've done some things. You're always doing things. So
I have a bunch of other stuff we got to catch up on, everyone. I feel like we got some loose ends we gotta clean up. So
and I feel like there's some of our listeners have been down there like now. So I'm seeing a lot of, well, the Mouselets were just here for their quick visit and Sam is there. And then the other Sam is there. And so I'm following everyone's stories and just being really jealous. And that's just what I do.
And the Mouselets were looking like they were having a good time. I mean, I did catch up with them real quick in, of course, where all conversation goes to thrive, Cosmic Ray Starlight Cafe. And
of course,
they look like they're having a great time. But I really like the way that they were approaching some of the parks, like the Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something Blue, with like attractions and shows.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool way to do their bachelorette party.
Yeah. Also, DVC Millennial Sam, I just want to like go along on her trips. Like, I want you to be like, you just plan things, and then I'm just going to go along with whatever you're doing, because it looks amazing. Everything, all the food and drinks she's been, like, eating and stuff, I'm like, I want to do all that. How much does it cost? I'll pay it. Let's just do it. So, and then there's no telling what. The other Sam, he said he's there with a lot of, like, middle schoolers and stuff like that.
Oh, goodness.
Which I was like, that's a lot of energy, but that's good energy, so I'm here for it. That's
a lot of energy.
Means you're going to sleep extra good at night.
I'd like to catch you all up on, I had a meal over at the Grand Floridian Cafe. I went back to Flower and Garden. I also want to talk about what we did last week, which was we asked AI what some good songs were for a, quote, amorous moment. And then we did post it, and we got some responses from you all about what you consider to be a great Disney song during a, quote, romantic encounter. And then I also want to tell everyone the answers for Magic Mashup. So let's start there, actually, with the Magic Mashup. So everyone has the submission period has ended, everybody. So
you missed the boat.
You'll be receiving notice if you've won by Instagram or email, whichever of the two pieces of information you gave me. But here are the answers, everyone. So these were five attractions that were in the Magic Mashup clip. I'll tell you what they are, and then I'll play it again. So now that you know what it is, you can hear, like, that's what that was.
Yeah.
So it is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Is that the doomt, 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 doomt,
and then it's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And the Navi River Journey. You
that
hear
one's
the,
always pretty.
The Shaman. Yeah.
That was.
This
pretty,
is the
like,
you the can... fourth one was the one that most Remy. People had the trouble with. It was Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
Okay.
That was the fourth one. And the fifth was Peter Pan's Flight. So those were the attractions. Here's that sound again if you missed it.
Okay. Nothing can stop us now. I'll steam yawning. Yeah, I think the Remy's would have been hard for me to get.
Yeah, I think so. And that was meant to be a little tricky, everyone. Mm-hmm. Most people thought that was either Soarin' or either like a fireworks show or something. A lot of people thought it was Soarin' or Spaceship Earth or something. Yeah.
Unless you've seen that movie, I feel like a lot. You may not get it, but.
Okay, and let's go on to our amorous Disney songs, everyone. So we put it out there for you all to anonymously submit songs. And this is a moment where I'm reminded that everyone's maybe a little bit more innocent than I am.
Oh, okay.
Less of a
than
of a
both
mind
of us, probably.
Yeah, because some of these responses were very sincere, and some of these I think were getting the joke that like this was a quote what an amorous interaction would be,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we're not saying the words. So here are some of the submissions from you all as to what a good Disney song would be in the moment. We got a couple that were also on the list from AI, which were Can You Feel the Love Tonight, mm-hmm. Whole New World, and Kiss the Girls. Those were mm-hmm. pretty spot on. Those did line up. And then here are some that were not on the list.
Okay.
So were unique submissions from you all. Again, these are Disney songs that would be good in a romantic encounter, during a romantic encounter. Zero to Hero from Hercules.
Okay. Zero to Hero.
Yes. Next was, and a bunch of you said this, I'll Make a Man Out of You. And one person said, and I quote, it literally starts with, let's get down to business.
Yeah.
So,
let's get down to business.
Hello.
To defeat the Hun. Did they send me daughters when I asked for sons? You're the saddest bunch I've ever... Okay, I'm sorry.
Then it takes a turn if you're thinking
of it. Yeah. But I mean, that's interesting because that can be taken the wrong way. Okay.
Yep. Next was Trashing the Camp.
Oh,
which I
really?
Assume is from Tarzan.
Tarzan. Yeah. Interesting.
And then this next one.
Do people know what amorous means?
I don't know. This last
maybe
on the list that we'll share.
Maybe they meant like nostalgic. Anyways, I don't know.
Last on the list we'll share for Disney songs that would be good in a, quote, romantic encounter
mm-hmm.
Is Almost There. And then they put the caption of, it's good to warn. So that's our list. That's your list, everyone.
I'm almost there.
Songs to use.
Almost there. People gonna come from everywhere and I'm almost there.
It's like Tiana's in the room with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's very
You're welcome,
nice.
Everyone. I
we
do love
even,
that song.
We don't need a new attraction. We've got Beth. Back to Flower and Garden.
Okay.
I went one more time. I didn't eat a lot of things. I talked about why on our patch out. I had a whole list of things I was going to eat. I only made it to the one thing. I had an unexpected event happen in Epcot. But I had the plant-based buffalo chicken with tater tots and, quote, blue cheese, because the whole mm-hmm. dish is plant-based. So it's not truly blue cheese because it's not real cheese, I guess you could say. And it was good. I'm still working on my soft food tour of Disney World because I'm still working through some dental issues. So I can say the buffalo chicken, very chewable. So that was a great factor in my decision to say that it was a pretty good dish.
Good.
And the tater tots were good, like super fresh. And the blue cheese was good too. I think I gave it a 7 out of 10, which is not bad. I don't want that to sound like a bad rating.
You gave it an 8, but maybe it was a 7. Maybe I was
I gave something
else
an 8.
Oh, okay.
The thing I gave an 8 was over at the Grand Floridian. So we had lunch. Well, technically it was lunch, but it was an 11:30 reservation. They stopped calling it blunch. And they separated it out to breakfast, lunch, and dinner now, which is nice. But
okay.
They basically serve breakfast like the whole day, I think, if you ask them nicely. No, they serve breakfast up till 2:30 if you want. So you can still get your giant Mickey waffle for a chicken and waffle, which, by the way, not what I got, but very delicious.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got the signature burger, which is delicious. But this is a restaurant where they do a bread service. So they give you a nice roll, but they have the regular butter and then a citrus whipped butter. The flavor that they use in the butter is not always the same. I don't remember that it was a citrus the last time I went.
Yeah.
But it's good. I just like a little flavor in the butter. Just put a little something in there. Okay. If I wanted regular butter, I'd stay home is how I feel about that. The entree I got was officially called the Grand Floridian Cafe Signature Burger. So if I haven't already mentioned, obviously Grand Floridian Cafe, a table service restaurant at the Grand Floridian. It's just right off. If you're walking in the lobby, it's off to the back left. It's right next to 1900 Park Fair, which is also about to reopen at some point. The burger is described as an artisanal 7-ounce burger patty with brie, bacon pepper jam, roasted garlic, aioli, and arugula on a brioche bun. And it's served with what they call cafe signature fries, which are steak fries, which are
yes.
great. They're not the thin park stripes, which are not necessarily bad. I just don't want that if I'm feeling fancy.
Yeah.
This is a $25 burger.
Ooh.
burger meal, you could say, right? Yeah. I did skip the bun. I did just get the burger
patty.
Yeah,
I saw that you didn't have the bun with it.
Yeah, it'd be a little too much for me to chew because I was holding out to see if I was going to get cake or not. And I was like, well, I feel like I have to do the bun or the cake. I know that I won't be able to do both. I don't normally eat a lot of food in one sitting. Mm-hmm. I wound up not getting the cake, but more on that in a sec. And the season, the steak fries, delicious. The burger, delicious. And I forgot that they said it came with brie. So when I got the burger patty out and it had a crispy something, and I was like, oh, did they start deep frying lobster and putting it on here? Because it used to be called the Surf and Turf Burger, and it came with lobster, and I never got it.
Lobster.
So I didn't eat it. And I was like halfway through the burger, and I was like, let me just try this. And I was like, oh my God, it's cheese. What a dope. I could have been eating this the whole time. It's so good. It was really good. I would absolutely get the burger again.
Sweet.
Even without the bun, but the burger, the bacon jam on it was delicious. It just was really, really good. And they have like that burger sauce on the side. You probably all know what I'm talking about. It's usually that orangey kind of looking sauce that is sometimes paired with the burger. Delicious. But I was like, should I get the cake or not? And if you're wondering what the cake is, and as soon as I say it, you'll understand why I was thinking about it. It is the cookies and cream chocolate layer cake. It's $9. Layers of chocolate cake, cookies and cream cheesecake, chocolate ganache, and you can get an a la mode if you'd like for $11. Not $11 more, $11 total. And I asked our server, I said, I need you to be honest with me. How big is the portion of this cake? And she said, it's a generous portion. And then she also said, for $9, it better be. I said, yes. Yeah.
You're like, amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I said, in that case, I appreciate that. I'm not going to get it. There's no way I'm going to. No, I can't because Nicole can't eat it.
Oh, yeah.
So like, I have to eat that whole thing myself and then go out. We were going from there to Magic Kingdom. Like, I can't do that to myself and go straight out to the heat.
Right.
So I did not get it. I will get it the next time I go when I am not going to the park after. But when we came back to the Grand Floridian after Magic Kingdom, I stopped by their quick service, the Gasparilla Island Grill, because they had two things on their dessert menu. I was going for desserts today is what I'm getting at on this day. I got the Bailey's Irish Cream Cheesecake. It's something that's available for the month of March for, you know, St. Patrick's Day. And then they also had an Easter treat, the Bunny Burrow Dirt Cup. Layers of chocolate cake, chocolate buttercream, cookies and cream pieces with springtime decor. That was a 2 out of 10.
Is it like the
most
dirt and worms, basically?
I guess it didn't come with
the jelly worms?
But like... The chocolate cake was like just okay. It was, I wouldn't say it was stale, but I don't know that it had any flavor to it. The chocolate buttercream was not smooth. And I don't mind it when buttercream gets refrigerated, but usually it still maintains some type of like almost like moussiness, at least when I've had it. This did not. It was just not good. And the cookies and cream pieces was basically like just the tops of fake Oreos, but they also didn't have any strong flavor. It was a waste. It's a waste. So I would not get, but the Irish cream cheesecake, if you happen to be here, anyone, for the rest of this month in March, delicious. I gave it an 8 out of 10, but I just thought it was really, really good.
Yeah.
It was Bailey's Irish cream cheesecake with chantilly cream and gold coins, but they're like little, like sugary kind of things.
Yeah. Mm. Sounds delicious.
All right. This is a moment in time where we get to introduce you, possibly introduce you. Maybe you already follow them. We are here with Brad and Kristen on Instagram as Neverland Adventures. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yay.
Thank you for having us.
My gosh. So exciting. Originally in the Disneyland area. No one else can see it, but the people in this virtual room, I am wearing a Disneyland shirt, a rather loud Disneyland shirt. if I might say,
because
I think we're going to wind up talking about Disneyland a little bit today, but I am also so curious about your journey because you are currently at this time local to Walt Disney World, and I'm sure some decisions went into effect, some thoughts to get you over here. So where do you want to start, Beth?
I usually like to start with, let's talk about your love for Disney and where that started.
Yes.
Because we like to know like where people, because some people we've met, they're like, I've been going to Disney my whole life. And some people are like, I went to Disney when I was 21 and it was amazing. And now I'm obsessed. So I always like to ask people how their love for Disney started and like where it flourished and all those things. So you guys can start there.
That's you, Kristen.
Yeah. So I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and I started going to Disneyland. Gosh, I think since birth, young age, very young. Our family went multiple times a year. We had season passes to Disneyland and we would drive from Phoenix to Disneyland. And so Brad and I started dating, and we actually went on a trip to Walt Disney World for 2 weeks. And he thought...
Not with me.
No, not with you.
Should I tell the story? I'm like hijacking the story.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think you need to elaborate on her family history with Disney is very far reaching. She, you know, they would go to Disneyland many times a year from Phoenix. They'd commute over to Anaheim. So
big Disney kid. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And you can get into
that. How long of a drive was that? I'm just trying to. Like, would you drive or fly?
Always drive. About probably 5.5 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
So not too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. From Phoenix, it's not bad at all.
No.
Yeah. It's a big thing for people from Phoenix. They go to California a lot.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I had never thought about Disneyland at all, ever, until I was, 30. When did we meet? I was 32.
32, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I've seen all the movies, you know, growing up and seen, you know, all the classics from the 90s. Mm-hmm. But never, ever had I consciously thought of going to Disneyland or Walt Disney World for that matter. So we started dating. We went on our first date literally in May of 2016. And I think just a couple days after our first date, she and her whole family were scheduled to go to Walt Disney World for 2 weeks. And I think we got into this conversation because she was about to take off and go to Florida. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, we're going to Disney World for 2 weeks. And I'm like, who goes to Disney World for 2 weeks? These people are nuts. These people are crazy.
And I think you thought I was a little crazy. I was like, why would she be, a 26-year-old girl so excited to go to Disney? And he just
I totally understand it now, having lived in Orlando and, gone to Walt Disney World. But that's like, that comes much later. I didn't realize. But that's what I thought when we first went on our first date. Just coincidentally, they were going on this trip for 2 weeks. And I was just like, these people are nuts.
Yeah. So that's what Brad had thought of Disney. So that was my actual first trip to Disney World that I remember.
Those people.
Yeah. So he was a little spooked. So then I was like, okay, Disney World's kind of a beast. And we'll get into that, I'm sure, compared to Disneyland. So I was like, okay, 2018 came around. We've been dating for a couple of years, and my family was going on a trip to Disneyland, and we tagged along. So he was kind of like, I kind of didn't want to hype it up too much because I didn't want him to, I kind of bit my tongue. Yeah. But he's just
hide
like,
your crazy
okay,
a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And he thought, this is just going to be a theme park. He didn't really fully understand. Like, you really can't understand Disney until you have stepped foot in the gates, and then it will all make sense. Yeah. Like, why? I'm like, I'm not really a theme park person, but I'm a Disney person.
Correct. Correct.
And the minute you walked in there, I mean, you can kind of tell your side, but you kind of fell in love with it. And
totally.
Like, the whole history of it and Walt and just being there in that trip, you were like, whoa, this is amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, totally Brad. Had you ever been to like Six Flags before that or anything, like any theme park?
Yeah, I had, but not with any degree of regularity. Like where I grew up in Kansas City, we have a decent theme park with roller coasters, but it wasn't my thing. I'm not a theme park person. Honestly, I'm still not a theme park person at all.
But
I'm
like
a Disney.
That's the difference. If you've grown up like going to like places like that, or like for us, it was like you can go to Carowinds or Six Flags or whatever it is. I think that's the idea people get in their head, and they're like, it's just Disney. Like they think it's the Disney version of that, and it's like, it is the Disney version of that, but it's like way better than that. Like what you're thinking.
Exactly.
And I think that's when
now we're all snooty.
Yeah. Then when people finally go,
welcome to the
like,
club.
It's like it's like top notch. Oh, I get it now. It's like top notch everything.
Exactly. So, okay, and so that first trip in 2018 when I got to experience Disneyland for the first time, and I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. And it was crazy and chaotic, and there was like 15 of us on this trip. Her whole family.
I have a big family.
So it was amazing though. Yeah.
You're getting all the ins and outs on that one.
Exactly. It was nuts. And ever since then, you know, there's a long story. Maybe we'll get into it depending on what you guys want to talk about. But obviously, we ended up later, after many years in being married and living in Kansas, we made the decision to move to California.
Yeah. So how did all that happen then?
Long story short, we just both love California and just kind of were outgrowing maybe Kansas City a little bit and thought, okay, we want to try something different. And we picked California, and I was like, hey, perk, Disneyland for me. And like then I think you even fell in love with it even more as you lived there and became an annual pass holder and really dove into the history with Walt and all of that. I think that grew your love even deeper for you.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like the nostalgia of it all.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that was a crazy story how we actually logistically, after we got married, lived in Kansas, bought a house in Kansas, started working. And then honestly, like the road to actually live in Southern California was crazy. But and just a lot of ups and downs. But eventually, like we were living in Arizona. We had made our way out west somewhat. And we took a weekend trip from Phoenix over to Anaheim. In September of 21, we drove from Phoenix over to Anaheim. We were living in Phoenix, and we went to Disneyland for the day. And did we even go in the park? Yeah, we did. We did. We did 3 days. Yeah. And we were just like,
we have to live here.
Yeah. We have to move here. We want to be Disneyland locals.
Especially like live post-COVID, here. You're like, whatever, you only live once. Like, YOLO, let's do it.
Absolutely. We still live by that.
Because y'all were in Anaheim, right? Like, you were like minutes from Disneyland.
We were like outside of Anaheim. We weren't actually in Anaheim. But
yeah, we could leave our apartment. Well, we've lived in multiple places in SoCal.
In the
area.
Okay.
Most of the time, and we could literally leave our house and be in the park. In the gate within 25 minutes.
Ooh, yeah. That's the dream.
Like door to door. Yeah, it was a dream. And so Greg, that, if you want a parallel, we can talk about the difference between that and Walt Disney World. Big difference, which we can get into.
Yeah. So but, how long did you live in California, like near Disneyland?
2.5 years.
Okay, so 2.5 years you spent percolating as a Disneyland local, and then you pick up and move across the country. Something that is that I can relate to. I mean, I grew up not in California, but I grew up in New York, and it was like a 1,200-mile drive or whatever to get here. So, like, it is quite the move moving across the country to get to Disney World. So having spent 2.5 years as a Disneyland local, I'm so fascinated by this idea that people who kind of grow up with or fall in love with the Disney theme park with Disneyland as their home base come here, because I was the opposite. Beth hasn't been to Disneyland in California, but has been to Disneyland Paris, but we grew up with Disney World. So this opposite perspective, I just think is so interesting. And I always find it difficult to compare the two, because I don't know that they really deserve comparison. They're just different. However, a lot of the rides that exist in both are better at Disneyland.
On,
I just want to say, you already know that, though.
Greg is a Disney.
I think you know
Disneyland
that.
Disneyland purist, he loves it.
Controversy.
I don't think anyone has ever disagreed with that statement. I'm not inviting criticism, everybody. I'm just saying that I don't know who would say that the Pirates in Disneyland is better than the one in the world. That's insanity to me. But anyway,
no one would argue.
You're here now. What are some things that you find to be unique to Walt Disney World? Like, what are some things that stand out?
Yeah, anything that you've come across that you're like, oh man, I wish Disneyland had that, but they don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, certainly the first day we arrived in we went to Magic Kingdom first, right?
Yep.
You know, we're used to the smallness, the quaintness, the accessibility of Disneyland. And obviously Disneyland is in a city. I mean, it's surrounded by life, real life and people living. And so that's really unique about that compared to here where they had the amazing luxury of building this whole world out here in the middle of nowhere, basically, you know, back in the late 60s, early 70s. So when we first went to Magic Kingdom the first day, you get to the parking lot. So that's a crazy thing in and of itself, because at Disneyland, you park in a parking garage.
Right. Right.
And here it's just this vast, like vast parking
field,
lot.
Basically.
Yes. Yes.
And then you get there and you're like, wait, this isn't it. I have to get on something to get there still. Yes.
And that's some of the charm to me about Walt Disney World and Magic Kingdom specifically is the transportation and the ferry. Like when I saw the ferry and I thought, wait a second. Mm-hmm. You took a boat to get over there? Like what?
Yeah.
And that is amazing.
Because I just interrupted you. You didn't really watch too much. Like, he didn't really watch too much about Walt Disney World before he went, so that it could kind of be a surprise.
Yeah. I didn't watch too much YouTube. You know, there's a lot of YouTubers at Walt Disney World. We've always done YouTube videos at Disneyland, and this part of this journey was like, hey, let's go make Disney World content. But I purposely didn't really want to learn too much about Walt Disney World so I could just experience it.
So you could be like and a kid?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when I saw, like, I think we have my expression on video.
My favorite thing to go with people who've never been before, because it's like, you're like looking at them like, what are they going to think about this?
Oh,
the first time
I mean,
see the castle and, you know, all the things.
Exactly. Just so blown away.
It's funny when you see the opposite in Disneyland, when we see people that are from Walt Disney World and we'll overhear them. They're like, oh, that's cute, or that's like, so small.
Now you understand why.
I mean, you've seen the castle. That's a tiny little castle.
Yeah, it is.
It's that was the strangest, most unique thing, I think, for me. Like, you know, Greg, like you, when we saw you at Disneyland not long ago, like, you know what I mean? Like, the optics of Main Street and Town Square are similar, but
way
everything's
so different.
Bigger and it's almost like what's the movie, is it Inception? That's kind of what I'm thinking, like, this is some sort of weird dream,
like I feel like I'm
at Disneyland. But everything's different. So when I first saw the castle, I was like, oh my gosh, this is just, this is wild. It's
okay,
so
I get
big
it, I get it, I get
yeah
it.
So
and imagine the transportation aspect of it all too.
Yes.
Our monorail is quite different too, right? So over there in Disneyland, as you know, but in case anyone else doesn't know, it has two stops, the Disneyland Hotel, and then it drops guests off in Tomorrowland. But here, we have two different tracks, as you know. We have the loop around Magic Kingdom, around the resorts there, and the ticket and transportation center, and then a separate track going out to Epcot. So even like, that's just such a huge difference. And I think we probably take that stuff for granted, but I would imagine you might've felt a little bit like a tourist hanging out on, have you actually done the longer monorail track from
done the loop all the way around?
Have we done the long one? I don't know if
we
have done
the
long
one. Just do it just to do it. Like, just do the Epcot loop. And I love the Epcot loop like that. Cause it, when it like loops kind of through the park, that's like my favorite part of the monorail.
That's such a great shot. If you're in Epcot looking up and it goes by.
Have you done the Skyliner yet? Another thing unique to Walt Disney World.
Are y'all
I'm terrified. I'm not going
to
lie.
I have to do it by myself.
Yeah.
Because this one, and apparently this is a real thing, and you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of people talking just at the park. I hear people walking by. They're like, oh, that scares me. I'm afraid of heights.
No, it scares a lot of people. I mean.
Okay.
I have to tell you, Kristen, don't forget that you only ever hear about the planes that crash, never about the ones that land. There are far more that land than don't.
Yeah.
So the Skyliner has operated accident-free for so much, like 99% of the time. It was just unfortunately
like really
that 1% that got the headline.
There's like really short rides you can do too, right, Greg? I mean, there's like
I mean, if you
want to
test
it
out.
Okay, I did it. Like, at least you got to hear the things and do it really quickly and then you can get off. But that's a good
thing
to remember.
That, just to experience.
Got to get you in there. You can't be afraid.
I mean,
no
if you get on at Hollywood Studios, right? I mean, you could park there and you just get on. It'll just take you to Caribbean Beach and you can get right back on. It's a pretty short one. The shortest is Caribbean Beach to Riviera. You just go over the resort, basically.
Yeah.
If you wanted to try it out.
That's a good topic for discussion, too. Just bouncing around between the different resorts and that's a huge learning curve. I think I looked it up. I think there's literally 27 resorts, something like that. Mm-hmm. And we literally have only done, I mean, we've done Grand Flow, we've done Polynesian, and we've done the one that we keep going back to is the Boardwalk.
Ooh.
Because we park at Boardwalk.
Yes.
And go in the back way to Epcot. I think one time we were like, let's go to Epcot. And by the way, Epcot, I don't know if you guys are going to ask us this, but I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah.
Our favorite park is Epcot.
Okay. That's funny. Why would you say that? Like, why is that your favorite? Just because it's different or?
Because of the alcohol?
For me, I'm a little,
booze.
For me, I think because I'm so Disneyland. My love with Disneyland. Sometimes I get a little homesick if I'm at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Mm. Or even Hollywood Studios, because it's kind of like our Disney California Adventure. But Epcot, we have obviously nothing like that in Disneyland.
There's nothing to compare it to. So you're not like playing the comparison game the whole time you're
there. Yeah, and it's just really cool. Like when I came in 2016, we did not have a plan. Mm-hmm. And with my family, we just kind of thought it was going to be like Disneyland. So it was a little chaotic, to say the least.
I can imagine. And I can imagine.
So we didn't get to like see much. It was like just bouncing from ride to ride. We were trying to park hop, and that was like a disaster because it's not the same as Disneyland, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get to like really see World Showcase. So this time we really went and did World Showcase a lot. We've done World Showcase a lot. That's been one of my favorite things.
We've done World Showcase so much. For me, like that, I was blown away by the different pavilions. By the way, is every nation-ish thing called a pavilion? Like, is it the Japan pavilion?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so the word pavilion is tacked on. Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure.
Each country that's represented. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So the pavilions are amazing. Yeah. I think for me, that blew me away. We got when we got here, the farts was going on, I can call it that.
We love a good Festival fart. Of the Arts. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we went really to cool. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, we were just all the different galleries. You know, if we had won the lottery, we'd be buying so many things because there's some amazing just works that I wanted to hang on my wall badly. But Epcot, the different architecture, it's our favorite place to go, I think. We've gone there more than any other park, for sure.
What are your thoughts then on Animal Kingdom? If like, you know, because there's really nothing to compare Animal Kingdom to as well. So
we love should tell the story Kingdom. About our Everest.
Oh, goodness.
What happened?
Oh,
did you get stuck?
So I don't know if it's age or I'm just getting older, but when we went in 2016, I kid you not, my little brother, he's 15 years younger than me, and we went on it probably 4 times in a row, back to back, and I had not even an issue. So that's how I remembered it. Mm-hmm. So we're in line, and I'm like, oh, it goes backwards, Brad, but it's not bad. Don't worry. It's fine.
I was excited to go backwards.
Yeah, and well, you were a little nervous, to be honest. And
don't tell them I was nervous.
You were a little nervous.
It stops somewhere and goes backwards?
Oh man, say the least, I've never had to recover so long from an attraction in my life.
It'll get
like
you.
It it's took me older. About 2 to 3 hours to really, and I haven't like, felt you. The same about Animal Kingdom since.
She's been so upset about Animal Kingdom. She's like, no. I'm like, but I was definitely messed up from going on that. I felt like I was in another dimension. But
the safari.
I will say the theming in the queue for Everest is amazing. Yeah. I mean, obviously Disney does amazing queues, whether it's Rise of the Resistance or, I mean, any number of amazing queues, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think the queue at Pirates in Disneyland is obviously one of a kind, right? But I actually did think the queue at Pirates at Magic Kingdom was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's the only part that's better.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool, right? So the queue at Everest was great, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. This is amazing. And then it took us like, I was so messed up. But
getting older, man.
I love Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
The animals. We've seen some amazing interactions with the gorillas. Yeah. Like just amazing fun things. And then the safari is incredible. Mm-hmm. Great food. I've eaten a lot at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, they really and good. Have y'all eaten at Satouli Canteen yet? In Pandora?
No, we haven't eaten in Pandora
at
all.
I really love their food. It's so good. So definitely try that one out.
So where have you eaten? Yeah. What's this amazing food you've eaten at
Animal Kingdom?
I mean, you can tell we're still rookies, obviously. Yeah. Right?
We have Tiffin's is the super fancy one. Yak and Yeti is the one in Asia that has
Yak and Yeti. Yeah. Had some great Chinese food there. And then a couple of the dessert, the pineapple upside down cake with the Dole Whip on top.
I don't remember where that's from.
And then they have the Harambee Market. Right?
Harambe
Market, and I ate there. Amazing. Yeah. Some tzatziki sauce. There was some.
Yeah, there's good food.
That was
over
really
there.
Good. I would go back for that. Yeah.
One thing that I will say about a lot of, we haven't done a lot of sit downs, and that's like a thing, a learning lesson for us and Disneyland. And I don't know if you noticed this, Greg, or maybe you planned ahead and you already had reservations if you were doing sit downs, but in Disneyland, it's pretty easy to get a sit down reservation last minute. Not so much in Disney World. So that's like a thing to learn is you really have to have a plan and plan ahead. So we want to do some stuff. We just need to get a dining reservation in advance.
They at least have done like a couple of things. Like there's some walk-ups, like walk-up, you know, lines that you can get in. Like Ohana, we definitely recommend if you haven't been to Ohana, if you can't get a reservation, they have a walk-up list every day for the most part. And as long as you're there, like as soon as it opens and you get on the app, you can pretty much get a table right away. So that's like a trick to try there.
Especially as a party of two. It always helps. The smaller the party, the better the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I heard you give one piece of advice that stood out so far, which is to try to plan a little bit when you visit Disney World. But what are some other pieces of advice that you would offer to folks who might be visiting Disney World for the first time as some newer Disney World locals?
Yeah, as rookies, as you say.
I would say for me, like I think having the expectation and knowing that it's going to cost money and it's going to be busy, if you go in with that mindset, you'll have a lot more fun if you plan ahead and just kind of know, okay. Because we were, that's one thing, like we were blown away by the wait times. We'll never complain about a wait time in Disneyland ever again. Because when Disneyland, we're like, oh, it's 30 minutes. You know, and now we'll never do that again.
And we're like, oh, it's 30 minutes. Let's go.
Yes, 100%. So like if you go in with like the mindset of knowing, you know, it's going to be long lines and, you know, there's going to be a crowd, I think that you'll have a lot more fun. And plan ahead, like I've already mentioned that, but definitely plan ahead, have a plan. Don't try to do all, I don't recommend, I don't know what you guys' thoughts on this, but I don't recommend trying to do all four parks in one day.
Yeah,
I think
typically don't.
That would be
a disaster.
Some
people do it as like a challenge, but we've, I've never done it. I don't recommend it because I'm like, unless you, I mean, that's just exhausting in my mind, but.
So that's like a big difference. Like in Disneyland, like I get a lot of people ask me, on my Instagram, you know, go, oh, can we do both parks? They're coming from Walt Disney World. And they'll say, oh, can we do both parks in one day? And I'm like, yes, easy, easy, do both parks in one day. Walt Disney World, it's a little bit more.
It's a lot.
It's more of like a transportation masterpiece. It's a long day.
You'd have to really pick the things that you really want to do and stick with those.
Yes.
You could make a huge mistake if you get too impatient and you kind of like try to just jump around. I think for me, like the biggest piece of advice, whether anyone's listening who's going to be going and for the first time, or maybe they've done Disneyland before and now they're coming here, you know, that was my perspective. So I would say whatever time you think you need, probably triple it, like to get anywhere, you know. For example, I mean, one night we were leaving Magic Kingdom and we were like, hey, let's go over to the Polynesian to get some dessert. I wanted to go to the, I wanted to get something like outside by the pool, and we were going to try to catch the fireworks from the Polynesian, which is also kind of a cool thing that you can do. And it took us, I think, an hour to get from the gates of Magic Kingdom just to the Polynesian, right? Which is very close. You can see it with your eyes.
What's kind of night,
you know,
was
walking,
this? Y'all were
pardon me?
You were walking, or did you take the monorail? Like, what'd you do?
So we walked
from... We thought we could walk the
way. We walked from the gates over to Grand Flow. Because there was a huge line to get out. So we were like, let's just walk to Grand Flow. Well, we didn't know at the time. We thought you could walk from all the way to the Polynesian, but they have it blocked off right now because they're doing construction on that new DVC tower that's attached to the Polynesian.
So then you have to go get on the monorail?
So we took a ferry boat. They have a ferry boat that goes from to the resorts. So now the interesting thing is like that takes a long time because you're waiting and you have to wait for the boat to get there and then the boat goes. So that took a long time.
Yeah.
It's also part of the fun, right? Because You get to ride on a boat. How cool is that?
Well, that's kind of what I mean when I say, like, bring your patience pants. Bring your patience. Because, like, if you don't have your patience pants on, then that will be very, very frustrating because you're like, oh, I wanted to be over there. But if you kind of, like, embrace it, yeah. like you said, and
yeah.
that's, I think you have to embrace the chaos at Walt yeah. Disney World. It's like, don't go. I saw a meme actually today on Instagram, and it was like, if you can't walk 12 miles, wait in line for 2 hours, and get up at 6 a.m. for rope drop, don't go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, kind of, that's true. Like, if you can't have a good attitude about kind of like doing some of those things,
yeah.
it might not be a pleasant experience, but if you kind of embrace it, it's all about, yeah.
That's good advice for me because I've been going to Disney World my entire life and I never bring my patience pants.
I'm a little old fashioned. I have patience pantaloons, but I do always remember to take them. You've been here for a little bit, so we're pretty food motivated on here, and we've heard a little bit about your food experience at Animal Kingdom. But what would you say are your favorite things to eat, just in general, here at Disney World? It could be like a something as small as a snack or a full sit down meal somewhere.
Yeah.
Instantly, I can tell you, snack-wise, it's the hamburger spring rolls. The cheeseburger spring rolls.
Okay. Ooh, over near our Adventureland in Magic Kingdom, right? Is that where you're
exactly.
getting
exactly.
Okay. We always smell them, but we've never wanted to wait in line for them, so I've never had them.
We've been fortunate, you know, the few times. And the pizza ones are actually really good, too, but the cheeseburger, that's my go-to spring roll.
Okay.
I've had some amazing desserts. Like, I'm really into the pineapple, coconut, tropical stuff. Yeah.
You got to go to Ohana, man. Like, you're it's going to blow your mind over there.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Exactly. What else? Aloha Isle thing over in Adventureland as well.
You had a really cool dessert there.
Cake pop with, it was like a coconut cake pop in a, I wish we should have been
prepared. Yeah, we know like all the names at Disneyland.
Yeah. But it was it was a Dole Whip float with a cake pop.
Yes.
So good.
We always get the Dole Whip float. It's always our
favorite. Exactly. So this is going to sound weird maybe, I don't know, but maybe not. My favorite place that I've eaten. What do you think I'm going to say?
Are you going to say the place at Polynesian?
No.
Oh, Regal Eagle in the American Pavilion.
Regal Eagle at the American Pavilion.
Do you get the burnt in fries? Because, man.
So I've gotten that. Okay. I keep going back for the brisket sandwich on the Texas toast. I don't know if it's me being from Kansas, the Midwest, probably. Like having barbecue, Kansas City barbecue, and they have the Kansas City like chicken thing there. I love that place, the banana pudding. Mm-hmm. That's like something I really love. So what else have we had that?
Well, for me, I think something that, you know, if anyone's listening here that's from Disneyland and maybe not going or going to Disney World for the first time.
Yeah.
Growing up in Disneyland, we used to have fudge and these amazing cookies that you guys have at Walt Disney World. And I freaked out when I saw them.
Yeah.
And we haven't had them it's really simple, but we have not had those at Disneyland forever. Like 15 years.
So where do you get them?
But you can find them at most of the confectionery stores. Like there's two places in downtown Disney.
Okay.
There's a place. I'll keep doing that. Disney Springs.
We call downtown Disney still. It's fine.
Yeah, it used to be called Downtown Disney. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, someone told me that the other day. Because I was like, Downtown Disney. He's like, oh.
That's what it was originally.
Yeah, it's had a few names, Disney Village, Downtown Disney, Disney Springs, but it's back to being Disney Springs.
Yeah, most of us, you know, if we grew up.
We go there a lot, too. Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We really like Disney. Disney Springs is really awesome.
But anyway, I thought that was kind of cool that
What's
they
the
have
tent?
The cookies.
The carnival tent where they have the cookies that we've gone to. It's in.
Souvenirs.
Yeah.
In Magic Kingdom.
That's it.
Yeah.
By the train station in Fantasyland.
Yeah. Yep. They have good stuff. That's a good like spot for shopping for things over there. Because you get your annual pass discount there too.
Yeah, you do.
But you don't get at some of the other places for like those confectionery items. So that's why a lot of people go over there and get them.
Yeah.
Cosmic Rays, eaten there a few times. So
That's the right answer, sir. That's what we like to hear. Cosmic Rays.
Cosmic Rays. I mean, that's really...
That was our first place we ate at Disney World.
Yeah, and, you know, it's...
we didn't have a plan.
We didn't know what we were doing. But that was part of the charm the first time. Yeah. I was like, let's just go and see where the day takes us. And I think I've done... It's Pecos Bills, right? I've done that several times. Yeah, I really liked that, actually. Mm-hmm. I really liked it a lot. Eaten there a few times. And but Cosmic Rays, they have like this Greek chicken salad. It has like big chunks of chicken on it. And yeah. like, love that.
They have a good burger.
We've done Columbia Harbor House.
Okay, that's good.
So I'm trying to think in my brain, like, the quick service options are probably fewer at Magic Kingdom compared to Disneyland. Okay. And then there's a lot more like of the
sit down character dining.
Character dining. And more, there's more of that, right? Like even when you walk in, you've got Tony's, right? Tony's right. is sit down. There's more sit down.
Which we kind of thought we could walk into all those, but you do need a reservation for all those.
You do. So that's a lesson
you're like,
to learn.
Two, please, and they're like, for what date?
For 3 months from now?
Yeah, they're like, oh, in 6 months I have an opening at 8 o'clock. And you're like, exactly. Oh, okay. You have had any cancellations?
Yeah, I mean, there's a learning curve. Yeah. There's a learning curve for sure. And that's part of the fun is learning new things and experiencing it. But yeah, so much food. So much food. And all the resorts.
Are y'all into characters? Like, is that a thing for you? I mean, I know... You know, so, the characters walk around at Disneyland, and it's not like that at Disney World. So,
you know what's funny is I actually mentioned this. I was like, I remember Greg saying that the characters don't walk around in Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much that mattered to me until I was in Walt Disney World. I didn't have that. So, it's kind of interesting because you had mentioned it, and I was like, yeah, that's a good point. And I didn't really think about it or really grasp that until we were in Walt Disney World. I'm like, wow, this is very different. Yeah. Like, you don't see, like, we see Mickey and Minnie walking around. You know, Mickey will come up and give you a hug. Like, it's totally different.
So why is that?
It's just
why. You had mentioned, Greg, the crowds. You thought maybe.
It's a cultural, like, crowd thing. There's too many people. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's not an advertised thing, right? I think that the way that our behavior is at the parks now, we're too far gone. Mm-hmm. It seems to have been preserved in Disneyland, but has not been preserved here. And at this point, it is the standard. It's the expectation that you have to wait online to see a character for the most part. And
or get a lightning lane.
Yes, right. But it's a little more structure to it. We're not used to seeing a character. So when a character is available, not in a queue of some kind, the character is mobbed by guests. So like they don't walk around without character attendance.
Like they want their kid or they want their, you know, they want their autograph and their time. And so that's why it just turned into like, okay, well, we can't do this anymore. Like this is why we can't have nice things. And I think in Disneyland, it's just a behavior thing where it's like, if you want to act that way, like you're going to be the odd man out, you know, like most people don't act that way probably
And I think maybe too, part of it is Disneyland, a big thing for us, you know, two, if I can say a big difference from Disneyland and Disney World is Disneyland is definitely a locals park.
Yeah.
More so.
Yes. Yeah.
And Disney World is a tourist destination for people over the world.
Yeah.
So it's very different. And I think that maybe because, like, I didn't, you know, like I said, I didn't really know how much I loved the characters and seeing the characters until I didn't have that.
Yeah.
So being a local, maybe we don't mob the characters because we see them so much too.
That's true.
And so maybe we're just used to, you know, see Mickey walking around all the time every day.
But it is funny when Greg said because of the behavior or the cultural now that people are like less behaved. I was saying that about Disneyland, you know. I was saying, oh my gosh, like there were times where I'd be like, and that's just probably you know, human nature in general these days, but it's sad. Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll all become kinder and more patient and they'll bring
the characters back. You will see, like, the pirate Red from Pirates of the Caribbean, like she played rock, paper, scissors with us for like 15 minutes once. Yeah. Remember that?
She was on the boat,
hung out with us for like 15 minutes. And that now you have people waiting in like hour and a half lines at Walt Disney World. So it's definitely like built. They have it, like you said, Greg, structured.
Yeah.
It's very structured.
They are doing more. I would say in the past, like 2 years, maybe the last year, they're doing more like random things. Like, the princesses have come out during fireworks and like, so they are doing, it's almost like they're testing the waters. They're like, let's just see how people are to see if they can do more of that. But you know, it is like, especially for those newer characters that are very high demand, you know, especially like when Frozen came out, I mean, it was like, there was no way in hell Anna and Elsa were going to be able to like walk around the parks. Like, no way. I mean, the wait for her, funny. The wait for her is like 2 hours, like always.
Yeah.
You know, always. It's like Moana. And so, and then now they're trying to pull him to some of the resorts so that people have to go to like resorts, or it'll just be like a pop-up at a resort. Like, I know Greg's run into Peter Pan a few times, like random places. Moana will pop up sometimes, sweet. But it's like, those are very unadvertised. Mm-hmm. So that they kind of do give some of that, but it's definitely not a regular thing anymore.
It's where I've seen it the most. Cause like I was not complaining, but I was a little bummed out and I was like, I miss my characters. You know,
like, no, I get it. I totally get it.
But we have seen a few,
but I was just gonna say,
we saw them at Epcot over by Regal Eagle.
That's where I've seen some walking around with, you know, they have like a little
attendant.
Crew.
They have an
we
attendant.
Call that the character palooza.
Yeah.
And to pull the curtain back a little bit, that's usually some of our entertainment friends who are learning the ropes, so to speak. So that's why you'll see a random collection of friends hanging out. Yeah. They yes. just get to they're getting used to visiting Disney World over there.
We saw Winnie the Pooh and like all the Hundred Acre Wood friends.
Yeah.
Were out and about. That was cool.
That was by Regal Eagle.
They just started walking out, and I was like, characters.
Yeah.
Freaked out like that. Like, maybe this is why they don't. Do
they'll
this.
Let Winnie the Pooh. I'm about to storm them. They'll let Pooh go in that like grassy area and like pretend like he's catching bugs and stuff. So that's like,
yep, that's what they did.
Yeah, he's being all silly, but he's far away. And then like,
yeah,
where's the where Daisy and Donald are, like right outside of Brown Derby and
It's lately it's been a little Donald and Daisy, a lot of Chip and Dale. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh finally moved from his grassy spot over to his true meet and greet in the back of the UK Pavilion.
Yeah.
He got his little house back there.
Yeah, yeah.
So more structure.
Oh, that's where
being
we just
added.
Got your Winnie the Pooh sweatshirt over at the UK Pavilion.
Viral
She's
sweatshirt.
Been dying for that green one that
oh,
you probably
yeah.
have seen it.
Yeah. 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 What about merch? I feel like merch is different. Maybe. I mean, how do you feel about the difference in like the merchandise?
So I feel like merch is like a big deal in Disneyland, but I never have seen like here when you guys do the festivals, like
it's Black Friday.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like,
it's
whoa,
like Black Friday.
I'm like, what's that line?
It's Disney's Black
and
Friday.
And it's for the merch.
Yeah. The out popcorn the buckets, door. Especially when there's like new popcorn, like when the Figment popcorn bucket hit, I mean, it was like,
oh gosh,
days and days and days of lines and lines. I mean, it was ridiculous.
I remember
like, to
seeing
the point
that
where they're doing
Instagram.
Mobile order now for popcorn buckets. It's crazy. So
yeah, yeah. That is like, that's a thing in Disneyland too.
Oh yeah,
popcorn bucket.
I know.
Yeah.
Remember we got the hat box thing.
Yes, that was a big one.
Yes,
yeah, the hat box.
So
like,
so I think they must not have the same ones.
Well, we
like,
don't have
no.
Figment, obviously.
Well, I know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, like obviously,
yeah,
you know, Beth couldn't get that one.
Like, because I remember when they did the hitchhiking ghost in Disneyland, and we like, I think we got it off eBay because we were like, this is not, it was a Disneyland thing. It wasn't going to be released at Walt Disney World. And then a couple years later, they released that one in Walt Disney World, but we weren't sure and we really wanted it. So yeah. And like that hat, the Hatbox Ghost one, like that hasn't been released at Disney World. So that's the thing is like, you just don't know if they're going to do it or not. So you better hop on it when they have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big one coming to Disneyland is the Chubby popcorn bucket. So Chubby, right, for those that don't know, is the bird from the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. That will be exclusive to Disneyland. The Disney Parks
just
account just posted that earlier today. So people
nice.
Will be excited about it, I'm sure.
People will be very excited.
Oh, yeah.
And the sippers and all of it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Noticing the clock, we've been spending a lot of time together and time is flying by. It's so crazy. Thank you so much for joining us, for imparting some wisdom for some folks who I'm sure will be visiting Disney World for the first time, possibly from Disneyland. I just think it's so interesting to hear from people in your position who grew up, one of you grew up, going to Disneyland and then coming over here and bringing your patience pants and potentially riding some different modes of transportation, different types of food, and just seeing how we have parks that don't compare really to any other park around the world or Animal Kingdom and Epcot, different from, you know, Hollywood Studios, which kind of has some counterpart parks across the world. And of course, Magic Kingdom, a little bit bigger, but less charm, I think, than Disneyland's park. But that's one man's opinion. But anyway, thanks so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was fun.
We'll go back in time with some Disney history, as always brought to you by the Mouse Slits. I'm sure they'll be recapping their time in the Disney on the recent Bachelorette party on their Instagram, TikTok, and of course their great merch over on their website. Check it all out.
Yeah. TheMouselets.com. All right. Yeah. Do you want to go first or would you like me to go first?
Way back to 1975. So this week in the year 1975, the film Magic Carpet Round the World is shown for the very last time at Circle Vision 360 Theater, which at first I was like, oh, that's an Epcot, right? Where they show the Canada thing? Well, no, because Epcot opened in the 80s. I was like, wait a second, 1975. They are talking about the theater that's in Magic Kingdom that is now the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor that was previously the Timekeeper, with, you know, the Robin Williams thing we played. And they've had a couple of different 360 shows in there, one of which was called the Magic Carpet Around the World. It was 1974 to 75, so a little over a year.
I'm like, was that like their first Soarin', basically?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, according to this description, it took guests on a tour of landmarks spread across the four corners of the globe.
I mean, that sounds like Soarin' to me. Just
the four corners. We're kind of giving the flat earthers a little bit of credence there. We don't like that. Yeah. Not the four corners, just the all
well,
around.
I mean, prove me wrong, Greg, okay? all right, well, I'm taking us back in history to 2012. This week in 2012, the Magic Kingdom unveiled the first phase of the new storybook circus area, Fantasyland, with a soft opening. The area obviously pays tribute to the traveling circuses of the 50s and 60s and featured the first part of Dumbo the Flying Elephant when they moved it. So this is Dumbo spinning clockwise for the first time in Magic Kingdom. The Barnstormer over there starring the great Goofini, which is a family attraction, and then Fantasyland train station, which was a new stop for the railroad, Walt Disney World Railroad. Good
that
stuff over
12
there.
12 years ago already? Jeez.
And it was weird watching some of those videos that I was telling you about. We were watching like on YouTube, and it was like, oh, that's where the old Dumbo, like it was like, there's the old Dumbo, like where it was before. Because now you see it and you're like, oh, it's always been there, but it hasn't always been there. So just very interesting.
All right, as usual, I've got a quote to end our episode. But first, if you like what you heard today, please feel free to like, subscribe, head over to iTunes, leave us a review over there. We do greatly appreciate it. Got a couple of nice reviews recently, which of course we like. Anything to negate that very dirty and disgusting review that's
still out
there.
Someone didn't tell us that we're dirty and disgusting?
My goodness.
Guys.
You can follow along on our Instagram. We are posting about our episodes and about our time in the parks, and that is at That Park Life Podcast. There's also an Ask Beth and Greg feature there. And you can follow our personal Instagram accounts. I am at The Disney Greg.
I am at The Real Beth McDonald.
You can also find The Real Beth McDonald on her other account at Simplistic Thrills. And on there is a link to some fun Disney and other inspired information, other inspired merchandise. And I have another podcast, and we're actually recording this week. We had a little bit of a break in time because I've only had enough ability to talk because of my stupid teeth.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to take a pause on that. But we are recording this week. We are The Quick Escape Podcast on Instagram, at The Quick Escape Pod.
Speaking of recording.
Yes.
We also need to throw out about next week. Because we are doing some things next week. Your girl's having some surgery on her back, and Gregory will have vacation. We'll be on vacation, so we will not have an episode next week, everyone.
I thought the best way to commemorate your surgery would be to go to Fort Wilderness for a few nights. So I'm just doing my part.
And just post a bunch of things to be like, ha, wish you were here. And I can't wait.
Did you see how Mouselet 1 had a cutout of Mouselet C's head?
Are you going to do that
Maybe
for me?
I should do that for you.
Great,
and I'll pretend you're with me on my Fort Wilderness.
I mean, Reba will not be scared by that at all, I'm sure.
No, she'll figure it out.
But, you know, if you get some really crass messages from me next week, just ignore them, okay?
It's the drugs.
It's the drugs.
So we will be taking next week off so Beth can do what she needs to do for herself. And of course, I will be out of the office, if you will, for
what?
For
you're always out of the office.
Week,
what's different about this? JK.
We'll see how Beth is feeling in the days after that. And we should be back on track. We were joking that maybe we'll do the episode from Beth's bed. When I say we, I don't mean me, although that would be an interesting time. Maybe Beth could do it from her bed. Anyway, if you would like to see some of our old topics, our old episodes, and you want to maybe search them, you can go to our website, hit the little search bar there, and type in a topic and see what episodes we've talked about on that. It's a great way to catch up and maybe to help plan you. plan you help you plan your next vacation.
We will plan you
to Disney World.
We're gonna learn you and plan you, okay, everyone? Get it
for
together
free.
For free.
For gratis. If you'd like to hear a little more of us, we do have our bonus episodes, which we release exclusively via Patreon. There's also an ad-free version of this podcast there as well. And some other things, too. I mean, we have the opportunity to join our live streams, our virtual hangouts, private planning sessions, and fun stuff like that. So again, that's over at our Patreon page, patreon.com/thatparklifepodcast. We have an Amazon storefront, too. Just list some of the things that we take to the parks with us or what I use when I'm running around town. It is your normal Amazon account you're able to use, but we do get a little something, a little for that. but again, it is your normal Amazon account. Alrighty. Now a quote, as usual, this time from Beauty and the Beast. And I think that although this is going to name a specific action, I think this can be applicable to many different things that you do in your life. If you ever need to wiggle your way out of a certain situation.
Did you pick this because of the Vera Bradley release of Belle?
Absolutely, sure did, 100%. I'm totally tuned in. No idea what that is. This is Lumiere, which, as we learned last week, possibly a good name for a pet or a baby.
Mm-hmm. A baby.
Little Lumi.
A Disney Lumi. Baby.
Lumiere, who once said in this exact accent, quote, "I wasn't singing, I was expressing myself dramatically."
Mm.
So the next time you're at work, and people maybe thought you were yelling at something. I wasn't yelling. I was expressing myself dramatically.
Or you could just sing, you know, like me. I just like to sing things.
With a French accent.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you in a couple weeks, and we hope
you
have a good one.